सहनावतु सहनौघ्नतु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादम् शङ्करं लोकशङ्करं शङ्करं शङ्कराचार्यं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं दशाध्यायिनीम् अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणीं यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति देव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः धियं सामगा ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तन्न विदुःसुरा सुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः Let us chant from the verse 8, or verse 7 rather, from verse 7. Mattah parataram nanyata kinchidasti dhananjaya mai sarvamidam protam सूत्रे मणिगणा इव रसोऽहमप्सु कौन्तेय प्रभास्मि शशिसूर्ययोः प्रणवः सर्ववेदेषु शब्दः खे पौरुषं नृषु पुण्यो गन्धः पृथिव्याञ्च तेजश्चास्मि विभावसौ जीवनं सर्वभूतानां तपश्चास्मि तपस्विषु बीजं मां सर्वभूतानां विद्धि पार्थ सनातनम् बुद्धिर्बुद्धिमतामस्मि तेजस्तेजस्विनामहम् बलं बलवतां च अस्मि kāmarāga vivarjitam dharmā viruddha bhūteshu kāmosmi bharatarshabha ye caiva sattvika bhāvah rājasāstāmasāscaye matta eveti tān viddhi natvaham teshu te mayi. In the seventh verse, Lord Krishna said, matta parataram nānyat kinchidasti dhananjaya. Hey Dhananjaya, hey Arjuna, in this universe there is nothing other than me. There is no cause of the universe other than me. As we say, there are two causes, the nimitta karanam or the intelligent cause and upadana karanam, the material cause, for any creation. Just as for the creation of a pot, there is clay which is the material cause and pot maker who is the efficient cause. Usually these two causes are different from each other. In reference to that, Lord Krishna says, matta paratanam nanyat kinchidasti dhananjaya. Hey Dhananjaya, there is no cause other than me, meaning that I am both the intelligent cause as well as the material cause of the universe. I am the only cause. Even though usually we find that the material cause is insentient or inert, the intelligent cause, such as pot maker, is a conscious being. So we see the distinction between a conscious being and unconscious things. Lord Krishna says that all those distinctions ultimately come to an end in me. So I am both the conscious as well as unconscious, both of them ultimately resolve into me. In short, what we call inert and what we call conscious are not essentially different from each other. Even though outwardly in appearance they look different, we call that a conscious being or a sentient entity which has consciousness of its own and consciousness of other things. Like you and I are a conscious being, conscious of ourselves as well as conscious of the world around us. All living beings are like that. And other objects such as this table and chair who are unconscious or insentient, neither conscious of themselves nor conscious of the world. There's these two kind of things we see. Lord Krishna says that ultimately all of this resolves into me. In me, the duality of the conscious and unconscious, the sentient, insentient, no such duality is there. I am the very creator and I myself manifest as the whole creation. Thus, in the ultimate analysis, the creation is not apart from the creator. The world is not apart from Ishwar or God who has created. And this is very important because we understand that God is the creator of the universe. However, we take for granted that God, who is the creator of the universe, is different from the universe. Is located in some location such as heavens, remaining where He conducts the affairs of this universe, remaining separate from the universe. And this raises many questions as to why does He do what He does? Why has He created the world as He has created? Why has He done like this? Why is there such disparity in the universe? And so there are many things that we cannot explain. This is that we do not have satisfactory answers to these questions. Because on one hand, God is presented as benevolent. On one hand, God loves you. He is benevolent. On the other hand, we find in the universe so much suffering. So these contradictions cannot be answered. They can only be answered or explained when you understand that the God is benevolent And this creation, the creation is not separate from God, not separate from Ishvara. Which means that one who is suffering also is Ishvara. So one who inflicts a suffering, suppose you imagine that Ishvara is inflicting the suffering upon people, then the one who inflicts a suffering is Ishvara. And one who is suffering also is Ishvara. Now this is something very, very amazing, but that's what it is. When we say that he is a creator as well as the creation, then one who is supposedly punishing is Ishvara, and one who is punished also is Ishvara. So how can that be? How can one punish oneself? How can one inflict suffering upon one's own self? The murderer also is him, and the one who is murdered also is him. The attacker is him, the one who is attacked also is him, in the ultimate analysis. How can it be? It's not possible for that to be. It's only possible when? It's only possible in a play or in a drama that is possible. Imagine that an actor takes more than one roles in a drama or in a movie. In a movie that is possible, an actor takes more than one roles. Then he is the role of a villain also, he is the role of a hero also, and both are fighting with each other. In a typical Indian movie, these fellows always fight. In the beginning, the villain seems to win, ultimately the hero wins. So when you see a person, one punching the other one, if both these actors, you know, both these roles are played by the same actor, then the one who is punching also is him, and one who suffers the punch also is him. So that's all movie, that's all play, then it is possible. Because really when a punch is given, it makes a lot of noise, much more noise than an ordinary punch when it is given, because something is done in the background, something he doesn't mean it. He appears to give a punch, he does not really hurt him. And his fellow only acts as being hurt, but he's not really hurt. Because it is play. So the only way that this can be explained is if that in a play you can explain it. And therefore, we have to say that this universe is nothing but a play. Then alone this is possible. This is possible if you say that the creation is not apart from the creator, that what we call creation is a manifestation of Ishvara, then that can be explained only when this whole thing is comparable to a play. Where Ishvara has assumed all these countless roles and he alone is interacting with himself. Just as in dream, the dream is creation from my own mind. In the dream, the whole dream world is nothing but projection of my mind. It is projection of myself. One can say that I alone have become the whole dream world. Now in the dream, when I find that a dog is chasing me and I'm running for my life, then the one who is running also is me, the one who is chasing also is me. In the dream there is a thief and I can't even scream. I'm so fearful. The thief also is myself, and the one who is afraid also is myself. This is possible when that world is nothing but a projection. This tells us that universe is not real, in the sense that this will be explained later on also. But right now Lord Krishna says that all there is in universe is myself. Whatever there is I, myself. And describes in a few verses, Rasoham Apsukaundeya, he called, hey Arjuna, I am the very, very taste in the water. Prabhasmi Shashi Suryayoho, in sun and moon, I am the very light in the sun and the moon. Pranava Saravedeshu Shabdakhe, I am the sound in the space. I am the fragrance in the earth. I am the intelligence of the intelligent. I am the strength of the strong. I am the brilliance of the brilliant. balam balavatamasmi kamraga varjitam dharma viruddha bhuteshu kamosmi bharatashabha. Even the very desire, also I am the very desire in the living beings. Lord Krishna says, the whole universe is woven into me. The whole universe is threaded into me, like beads threaded into a thread. So also, the whole universe of names and forms is threaded into me. I'm the very thread, the very support, sustaining the entire universe of diversity and variety and multiplicity. All this is very beautiful. You know, what it means is, it means that wherever you look, if you look closely, you'll find Ishvara. If He alone is everywhere, He alone is everything, it means that if you look closely, even though outwardly a person may look a criminal, which is there, but then also if you look closely, you'll find the same Ishvara, the same divinity you'll find even in a criminal also. Meaning that the so-called criminal is not the inherent nature of that person. The inherent nature of everything and everybody is nothing but Ishvara, is divinity, is perfection, is wholeness, is harmony. That is inherent nature of everything that there is. And therefore, if you investigate anything, whether we investigate an atom or a cell or a person or anything we investigate, then we'll find the same divinity, Asti, Bhati, Priyam, same Satchidananda, we'll find everywhere. That everything is, a flower shines, and a flower has the capacity to make me happy. So flower possesses existence, flower possesses an intelligence, and flower possesses the capacity to give me happiness. And everything in the universe has this nature, and that Asti Bhati Priyam, to be, to shine, and to be a source of happiness, is common to everything. Thus, Ishvara as Satchit Ananda pervades the entire universe. He is the self of all the beings. And therefore, we were told in the verse 12, Ye chaiva sattvika bhavaha rajasaha tamasascha. Here, Arjuna, whatever things and beings are there, which are products of sattva. So, sattva means purity, tranquility, nobility, where there is knowledge, where there is righteousness, when there is dispassion, where there is glory, understand that, that's a manifestation of sattva. So, sattva means tranquility, purity, and wherever there is predominance of sattva, we'll see righteousness, we'll see knowledge, we'll see wisdom, we'll see objectivity, we'll see dispassion. So this is what we'll see, this is the manifestation of sattva. There are others who are predominant rajas. There we see greed, aggressiveness, activity, restlessness, rajas. There are others who are predominant tamas, where there is sleep, there is laziness, there is inadvertence, there is dullness. Sattva, rajas and tamas. Of these three gunas, or three dispositions, the whole universe is made. The sentient and insentient, all of these can be understood as the modifications of sattva, rajas and tamas, the three gunas. My body is made of predominant of tamoguna. My organs of action in the prana, product of rajoguna. My organs of perception and mind, product of sattva-guna. The whole universe, the inert universe is predominantly tamoguna. Yechaiva sattvika bhavaha. Whatever beings and things are which are product of sattva, which show beauty, harmony, intelligence, purity, There are others, products of rajas, which show impurity, greed, aggressiveness, activity, restlessness. It may water, all of these, you know, indicate rajoguna. Wherever tamoguna is there, dullness is there, darkness is there. Wherever sattva, rajas, tamas, that accounts for the entire creation. The entire creation can be accounted by these three, sattva, rajas, tamas. So Lord Krishna says, whatever these beings are, things and beings, sentient and insentient, good, bad or indifferent, right, wrong, whatever there is. In tamoguna you may see a lot of evil also. You may see cruelty, you may see aggression, you may see cruelty, you may see insensitivity. All these you may see in tamoguna. So, without any exception, Ishavasyam, idam sarvam, yat kinje, jagatyam, jagat. In this universe, whatever there is nothing but the manifestation of Ishvara. Lord Krishna says, whatever there is in this creation, mat ayavaitan viddi, know them to be all from me. I am the father, I am the mother, I am the grandfather. No God will take this responsibility. In no other tradition or religion you'll ever find God declaring that evil also is my expression. That this injustice and cruelty all is my expression. Nobody will ever accept that. Lord Krishna says, I am everything. Everything is my manifestation. Matta evetitan viddi, know them all to be manifestation of myself, I am the origin of all of them. Then, oh Lord, what's the relationship between you and this universe? You say that you are manifested in the universe. Have you become this universe? Did you get transformed in this universe? Meaning that, have you become all of this? Have you become the world? Have you become the universe? Have you become cruel? Have you become this aggressive? Have you become all of this? If God became all of this, then he's in great trouble, because then he's a great samsari. With one embodiment, we have so many difficulties. Can you imagine him having assumed all these embodiments and suffering all the pleasure and pain? I don't want to be this God. And so Lord Krishna gives a clarification. Natvaham teshu te mai, they are in me, I am not in them. That's a technical way of expressing. They are in me, I am not in them. What it means is, they are because of me, I am not because of them. Meaning that we do not enjoy an equal degree of reality. They are because of me. Meaning that the universe of names and forms is because of me, it enjoys a dependent reality. I am not because of them, I do not have a dependent reality, I have an independent reality. So this is Vedanta. Here, Lord Krishna is just unfolding his nature. That I am one non-dual because there is nothing other than me. There is a Brahma Sutra describing this. Tad ananyatvam arambhana shabdadibhyah. The universe is non-different from Ishvara. But Ishvara remains independent of universe. Swamiji's famous equation. The B is equal to A, but A is not equal to B. Assuming A the actor has taken a role, B the beggar. The A actor has assumed a role, B, that is beggar. actor and beggar, are the two entities? Not really. It may look as though beggar is a separate entity, but they are not two entities, there is one entity. What is the relationship between actor and beggar? B is A, but A is not equal to B. The beggar is actor, but actor is not beggar. The actor can say that the beggar is in me, but I am not in beggar. Meaning that the beggar is dependent upon me. Beggar is because of me. Beggar is a superimposition upon me, is it not so? Actor has merely taken the costume, put on the costume of the beggar. Therefore, the idea of beggar is superimposed upon the actor. Really, the person who is there is the actor. He is a very wealthy person. Upon that, the idea of beggar is superimposed. Meaning that the one that outwardly appears as a beggar is in reality an actor, a very wealthy person. Beggar is a dependent reality because beggar cannot be unless the actor is. But the actor is independent reality. Actor is whether the beggar is or not. And so what's the relationship between actor and beggar? Actor is real, beggar is unreal. Or in the Vedantic language we say that actor is satyam, beggar is mithya. Beggar is an appearance. Actor appears as a beggar. Actor has not become a beggar. That's very important. If to play the role of beggar, the actor had to become beggar, nobody would ever take roles. And sometimes when people do not know, like our children, whether to participate in the cultural program, they think that when they take the role of beggar, they become beggar. Therefore, they say, I don't want to take this role. Children hesitate to take the roles of a beggar, of a watchman, of a gatekeeper. No, I want to become a king. They do not realize they're just acting. You're not becoming anything. There's no rule that the one who acts as a king alone will get the prize of the best actor. Even the fellow who acts as a beggar also will get the best prize. Is it not so? So beggar, B is equal to A, because the B is not apart from the actor A, whereas A is not equal to B because A is independent of B. The actor has not become the beggar, actor simply appears as a beggar. Of the two, the beggar is an appearance, the actor is reality. The reality appearing as quite contrary to what it really is. Meaning a person who is very wealthy appears as very poor. He can afford to do that because there is no becoming involved, there is merely an appearance. It's a play. And that is why, as Pujya Swamiji would say, that this person can perform the best acting. He has no hesitation in appearing as a beggar and acting as a beggar. And so he goes around and studies number of beggars, maybe 100 beggars he has studied, and he has studied the different styles of beggars. And he can display all those styles which no real beggar can really display. And in Indian movies, the beggar also has the benefit of background music and some songs. Very effective beggar. The real tears streaming from his eyes. Inwardly he must be smiling. How effectively I am crying. The crying is what they call crocodile tears. Crying is mithya. The crying is mithya and unreal. It appears to be real, but it is in fact not there. But outwardly he is crying, inwardly he is smiling. The beggar is not apart from the actor. Beggar has no independent reality because the hand that is begging is the hand of the actor. And the mouth that is singing is the mouth of the actor. So this is very important to understand. Real and unreal, satyam and mithya. Actor is satyam, is real. The beggar is mithya or unreal. Also we can say in the Vedanta language that the beggar is a superimposition upon the actor. Actor appearing as beggar or the beggarness superimposed upon the actor. Something like that is the relationship between Ishvara and this universe. Natvaham teshu te mai. Lord Krishna says that I am not in this universe, universe is in me. Meaning thereby that this universe is nothing but a costume that I am wearing. It is merely an appearance. I have not become the universe. I have not become a samsari. I am everything. I am the self of all. In spite of being our own self, he has not become a limited being. He appears as a limited being. Avyaktam vyaktimapannam manyate mam abuddhaya. People who do not know think that I have become a jiva. They think that this jivatvam, this samsaritvam is real. They think that the manyness is real. They think that all the differences are real. They think that all the divisions are real. They think that all the pleasure and pain are real. In fact, they are unreal. They are just appearance. In appearance, everything is fine. See, our original question was, if God has created this world, why did He create this kind of world? Why did He create suffering, Swamiji? Why did not He create all the people, good people? Why did He create evil-minded people? Why is there so much unrighteousness? Why is there so much injustice? Why is there so much aggressiveness? Why is there so much suffering? None of these questions could be answered satisfactorily, except in one way, that in drama, everything is okay. In a play, there is no problem. We never ask, why in a movie, because in the movie, when you see somebody shooting another fellow, we don't call police. In the movie, when you see a fire taking place, you don't call this fire engine. You know that it is merely mithya. It's an appearance and not a reality. Something like that Lord Krishna is saying, that what outwardly appears is not everything about it. What outwardly appears is merely an appearance. And probe little more into that. Meaning that we are invited to probe into what appears to be suffering, injustice. Just probe into that. Do not stop at what appears on the surface, but see what is behind all these things, and you find the same smiling Ishvara behind all of them. Behind the criminal also, you find, just as behind the crying beggar, you find a smiling actor, and so also behind the criminal. If you look into that, you'll find a smiling or a righteous Ishvara. Now that's the challenge given to us. Meaning that, don't simply ask questions and feel satisfied that there are no answers, I don't believe in God. Here is an answer to the question. Every question is answered. Because in play, there is no question why. In baseball, why should there be 9 innings? Why should there be X number of players? Why? Why is a football game like this? Why they call it football and there is no football? There is all fighting there, Why is it so? That's how it is. What is real football? It's called soccer. Where the foot is used, that's called soccer. Where the foot is not used, that's called football. Whatever. Why? That's how it is. And why is football, the soccer players, fellows are fighting with each other for one ball? Why don't you each give them a ball so they stop fighting? They appear to be fighting, but they are not fighting. Because it's a game. Everything is already in game. Of course, what do you call it when that is the, when you hit the other fellow, what is it called? The headbutt? That kind of thing may not be right, but otherwise, you snatch away the ball cleverly, it's all right. So when we know that it is a game, how these things don't disturb us? Similarly, suppose you understood that this is all game. Then it will give us a disposition of mind wherein we are now ready to probe further. Because when the what is appearing outwardly, when that disturbs our mind so much, with so much opposition or so much resentment as to why our world is like this, our mind is not available to probe further. Don't think that Vedanta wants to dismiss. It's not Vedanta wants to dismiss things. This wants us to understand things. Vedanta simply reveals the reality of life. And just as a scientist simply probes the reality of life. He has no agenda of proving a thing one way or the other. He just only presents to us what is. And so also, Vedanta has no agenda. That they want us to believe in something and no such agenda. It's just revealing, it's just telling us what is what. It is for us to understand and then find the answers to all our questions. But the question why is not, it doesn't have a room when we understand that this is merely a play, an appearance. Like in the Halloween, you know, somebody appears as a lion, somebody appears as a tiger, somebody appears as a demon. Why? My brother is so cute, Swami, he appears so miserable. Why is it so? Because it's appearance. If you take appearance as real, then they will be miserable. If my brother, who is so kind, has become a tiger, then it's a different matter. He has not become a tiger. It's merely just an appearance of tiger. Understand this. That does not mean that we have to become insensitive to the suffering of the world. That's not the idea. As long as our sense of suffering is real, so long world suffering is real. Unless this becomes a reality to me, so long we follow the rules of the world. When I realize that there is no suffering in me, when I will recognize myself for truly what I am, as Kathopanishad says, Suryo yatha sarulokasya chakshuhu nalipyate chakshushair bahya doshaihi ekastatha sarbhutantaratma nalipyate loka dukhena bahya. The sun, who resides in the eyes of all the living beings, is never tainted or never polluted. Even if it touches something impure or a polluted thing, sunlight doesn't get polluted because it doesn't really touch. And so also, Ishvara is the self of all. But is not affected by the pleasure and pains of living beings because they are all products of ignorance. And thus, same Ishvara is our self. When I understand that, my suffering also is nothing but a notion on my part, a conclusion on my part. It is because of giving reality to something which is unreal and not recognizing the true nature of myself, that is why the suffering is. The source of all my sorrow is because I take myself to be a limited being. I equate myself with this body-mind complex and I take myself to be as small or insignificant in this body, and therefore what causes suffering to me is a sense of insignificance. That is what Lord Krishna says in the next verse. Because from what he says so far, it is very clear that Ishvara is the self of all. He is everything, and therefore he is the self of everything. And as we say, who is Ishvara? Asti Bhati Priyam Sat Chit Ananda. Sat means it is beyond the limitation of time. Chit means it is of the nature of knowledge or intelligence, untouched by ignorance or evil. Ananda, of the nature of wholeness, completeness, and therefore untouched by any sorrow or unhappiness. So what is the nature of myself? I am Sat, or I am beyond the limitation of time, I am eternal. I am ever free from birth and death and all the changes, that is my nature. I am Chit, I am nature of consciousness, I am all knowledge or consciousness which illumines all the knowledge, and ever ignorance can never touch me because I am the nature of knowledge. I am Anandaha, I am Purnaha, I am a complete, I am whole being. See how unfortunate it is that even when we are told, we are not willing to accept it. Swami, the Swami always say like this, you know, to make us feel good. No, it's not so. That's a reality about ourselves. But even after listening to this, it doesn't illumine our faces. Because I think they are talking about somebody else, not about me. That's a reality. Lord Krishna says, I am everything. I am the self of all. Eko devaha sarvabhuteshu gurah. This one self-effulgent Lord is in fact, he is abiding in the hearts of all the beings as their very self. Sarvavyapi sarvabhutantaratma. He is all-pervasive and he is the indwelling self of all the beings. Karma adhyakshaha, witness of all the actions, witness of all my thoughts. Sarabhutadivasaha, the one in whom the entire universe also dwells. The witness, the consciousness, the changeless. That's what is the nature of the self. And knowing that self will relieve me from all sense of smallness. They said, what makes me unhappy or sorrowful is nothing but my sense of smallness. When I find myself limited, small, insignificant, dependent, helpless, whenever I see myself in this light, I become unhappy. As we discussed a number of times, there is no cause of unhappiness in me or for me other than my not feeling good about myself, my finding myself a limited being. That's the only cause of sorrow. There's no reason for me to feel that because I'm limitless. So irony is, in spite of the limitless, self-effulgent, complete and whole Ishvara being the very self, whom this pleasure and pain of samsara cannot even touch, knowing whom as myself will relieve me of all the samsara, all the sense of smallness and sorrow. If this is so, then, and still, how come people are suffering? If Ishvara is our own self, if Ananda is my nature, how come I am suffering from sorrow? If Chit or consciousness or knowledge is my nature, how come I find myself ignorant? If Sat or eternal eternity is my nature, how come I find myself a mortal subject to death? Meaning that I find that I am entertaining about myself notions that are quite contrary to my true nature. Why it is so? That is because of ignorance. So this is the Vedantic explanation of why ignorance. Don't ask a question, why ignorance? Swamiji, Vishwara is everywhere. How come you don't recognize him? Ignorance. Forget what everywhere. He's my own nature, myself. How come I don't recognize him as such? Ignorance. What is ignorance? Ignorance deprives me the perception of what is and causes the wrong perception of, wrong perception. Ignorance has these two aspects. It deprives me of the perception or knowledge of what is, meaning what I am, and instead causes the conclusions or delusion of what I am not. Just as ignorance of a rope deprives me of knowing the object as a rope, and instead creates the delusion of a snake. It is ignorance, Arjuna, that is the cause why people do not have the benefit of what they are. Even though I am the limitless self, I don't enjoy the benefit of that. Because it's not enough that I am limitless, I should know that I am limitless. Why is it ignorance? How come I do not recognize Ishvara as myself or as self of all? That question is answered in the next verse, verse 13. Tribhir gunamayair bhavaihi evis sarvamidam jagat mohitam nabhijanati māmebhyah paramavyayam. Tribhihi gunamayahi bhavaihi idam saram jagat mohitam. Lord Krishna says that the whole universe is deluded, and particularly all human beings, because of course, other beings also are deluded, but they are blissfully ignorant and therefore there is no problem. The dogs and cats and birds have no problem. They don't suffer from inferiority complex or a superiority complex or a sense of insignificance. They don't suffer from that. They are blissfully ignorant of their insignificance, of course. That's why they don't know it. They don't know it, therefore they don't suffer. This thing called sorrow or sadness is essentially a problem of human being. Essentially. We find animals also suffering sadness now and when there is, when the little child dies or something. For some time there is sorrow in them also. But largely they are free from any sadness and depression. They are depressed dogs and cats. Unless they have lived with us for a number of years, then they become depressed, because seeing us depressed, they also learn how to become depressed, I guess, So our pets can become depressed. But in India, our street dog, there is no depression there. There is no stress, no sadness, nothing. Not that we want to have to become dogs or cats, but the idea is that when the self-conscious is not there, then you are blissfully ignorant, that's all. What I am saying is that the one that counts, the one in whom the delusion really makes effect, is human being. Mohitam, the whole universe, all the human beings are deluded. What is meant by deluded? Delusion means taking one thing to be different from what it is. That's called moha or aviveka. The standard Vedanta example is taking the rope to be a snake. Only one example. Taking rope to be a snake. Similarly, taking the self which is limitless, taking that to be limited. That's called moha or aviveka. Call it delusion, which is a product of ignorance. Meaning that all of us are born ignorant, and also we are born with these wrong notions. So not recognizing the true nature of myself and taking myself to be contrary to what I am, not recognizing that this body is my dwelling place. I am not the body really, it's my dwelling place. But I still take the body to be myself. And therefore, the birth and death of the body, they become my birth and death. And that is the cause of sorrow. That intellect is an instrument that I have to know and to interact with the world. I am not the intellect, but I take the intellect to be myself. And therefore, the limitations of the knowledge of intellect, they become my limitations. That if I cannot remember, I become very hard on my own self. I can't remember. What is his name? I can't recollect. What did I tell you that day? I'm in pain. Why, it's a problem of the intellect, that it has limited memory. Why should I have to punish myself? But then, when my poor mind cannot remember, I say, I cannot remember, and therefore, that lack of the mind is superimposed upon me, and I suffer from a complex that I can't remember Swamiji. These days I can't do what I used to do 10 years ago. I can't work in the garden anymore. I can't work in the house also. Now I need a maid. Now I this. And that's all right, but I feel so bad about it. I can't do that. But the incapacities belong to the body. They do not belong to the self. But I take the, not only I do not know the true nature of myself, but I take myself to be what I am not, namely this body, this mind, the intellect, and they are limited in every way. Regardless of how great I am and how accomplished I may be, and still I am going to be a small, limited, insignificant creature. I don't think when Einstein also became feeble complex that he was limited in knowledge. However, he is one of the greatest, you know, creation of Ishvara. One of the greatest creative geniuses in science. And still when it came to matters other than physics, when it came to Ishvara, for example, he was also wrestling with the idea of whether God, what's the nature of God. And surprisingly enough, Einstein was he believed in determinism, meaning that he thought that there is no freedom. Everything is determined by the laws of nature. And there is no such thing as free will. Somebody asked him, do you believe in Judaism? He was a Jew, born Jew. So I don't know. He said, Judaism believes in free will. I don't believe in free will, so I don't believe in Judaism. So in spite of such amazing intellect, when it comes to other matters, a person may be as limited as anybody else. Like Newton making two holes, one for a big cat, other for the small cat. So it is said. Nobody can ever be free from the sense of smallness as long as the person equates this body-mind complex with the self. But that's what Lord Krishna says, Trivihi Gunamayahi Bhavaihi. This is Upadhi, or this body-mind complex, which is the product of three gunas, Trivihi Gunamayahi Bhavaihi. Idam saram jagat mohitam. So what is created from three gunas is body and the mind and the intellect and sense organs. This complex is created. It's a beautiful gift. If you knew that as a gift, then you could enjoy it. Gift doesn't have to be limitless for me to enjoy. Gift can be limited. You give me flowers, there are 3 or 4 variety of flowers, not every flower in the world, and still I enjoy them. Because it's a gift. Because I do not judge myself based on the number of flowers. If that complex I had, that you have a flower, a bouquet which has 59 flowers, I have a bouquet which has 36 flowers, and therefore my bouquet is smaller than yours, so I am smaller than you, then there is a problem. Moment I judge myself by anything other than myself, there is going to be a problem because everything is limited. Mohitam. Therefore, the human being judges himself, equates himself with his body. And that is why the whole culture of this body, because then body becomes so important. Not that body is not important, but then body alone is important. How it appears. There is all the whole fashion industry, the whole beauty, what is the beautician industry, whatever the industries are. Billions of dollars because of our complexes. I equate to the shape of my nose, I equate myself to the color of my skin, I equate myself to the height and weight and whatever, and suffer. These things cause suffering. A self-non-acceptance. I cannot accept myself. I cannot accept the limited myself. If the body is myself, I cannot accept the body regardless of how it is because it is limited. I can't accept my mind. I can't accept my intellect because I equate myself to them. Otherwise, if I knew that this hall is a place where we communicate, then it's fine. If I am the hall, then there can be problems. Then some other hall is bigger than this, so that is bigger and I am smaller. Moment I equate myself with anything other than myself, that's called moha or delusion or viveka. Sarvam idam jagat mohitam. Lord Krishna says that I appear before the universe, I appear before you as the universe, wearing this threefold cloth, the threefold costume of sattva, rajas and tamas. If in our mind we can do this viveka, opposite of moha is viveka, moha is aviveka, and the opposite of that is viveka or discrimination. If I take that person on the stage as a beggar, then of course I have one kind of feeling for that person. But if I recognize that beggar is just an appearance, actually he is an actor, my very favorite actor, then my perception and my response changes. Similarly also if I recognize that this is merely a costume. And it's a pleasure to wear a costume. Doesn't matter what it is. Our prime ministers and presidents go to all kinds of communities and wear all kinds of dresses, you know. When they go to some tribal area, then he wears all kinds of hats and whatever, you know. He goes to some other area and wears something else. He dances, or he likes or does noses or whatever. It's all fun. But the moment you take it to be self, you take it seriously, then that's what you are. Mohitam na bijanati. Maam na bhijanati. Thus, this universe taking that very costume as a self does not know I the actor who is totally different from the costume. Maam ebhya param. I who is beyond this, who transcends this, who is untouched by this costume. And that very costume of sattva, rajastamas, comes in the form of all the various living beings. There are 8.4 million species supposedly, all their different costumes. What a creative genius Ishvara must be. What a creation. In one human being also, everybody is different. Nobody, there is no two things that are identical. What a variety, what a wonderful creation. But that is actually baffling and that's causing problem to us. What is meant to be enjoyed creates a big problem because moment I take this body as myself and that body as you, then I compare who is taller and who is shorter. So then I stand inside, you know, beside somebody, let us measure our height. I always stand, normally I may be like this, but then I stand like this, you know. I want to show, appear to be taller. So what is meant If you knew this as a whole play or drama, what an enjoyment there would be. When drama becomes real, then it causes a lot of pain. Otherwise, what? See, we have no problem with flowers. The variety of flowers, we enjoy them. The stars we enjoy. Whenever objectivity is there, we enjoy. Because that time, I don't judge myself. But if there's a flower show, and my flowers are also there, some other flowers also are there, then I don't look at the flowers as objectively as before. I don't enjoy them, I compare. Then all the fun is gone. If you're just playing football or cricket or whatever, then there is fun. But if you're not playing and you're fighting and, you know, you have an agenda of winning, then it's not fun anymore. Māmebhyah paramavyam, I who is param, quite distinct from this costume of sattva rajas tamas. Avyam, so this costume, the body, is subject to change constantly. It is, vyaya means, it changes. It gets, it decays. Everything is subject to change, everything is perishable. The costume is perishable because it is subject to birth and death. So Lord Krishna says, I am wearing this perishable costume. Who am I? Imperishable, wearing the perishable costume. The changeless putting on the changing costume. That is His glory. And so effectively does that, we take the drama to be real. We told you the story earlier, this great man in Bengal, Ishwar Chandra Vidyasagar, was a very great person. When he was young, 12 or 15 years old, he had gone to see a play. In the play, one man was attacking a woman, and this boy Ishwar Chandra became so wild, he took his shoes and threw right at the stage, hitting that man. The curtains came down. The director came out on the stage and said, because all the audience was very disturbed and he was very angry at this boy. So the director of the play comes out and says, today I'm very happy. The drama has been so effective that he is somebody who takes it to be real. That's the effectiveness of drama. And that's the effectiveness of the drama of Ishvara, that everybody takes it to be real. That's called delusion. Taking drama to be real is delusion. Taking appearance to be real is delusion. Taking the costume to myself is delusion. Mohitam. And because of that, we do not know really what it is. Nabijanati mam. They do not know me. They do not know me as I am. What is my only, but they do not know me as I am. As their own self, as imperishable, as changeless, as ever whole, as complete, they do not know me. Meaning that it is not our fault that we are suffering from these complexes, because that is how it is meant, designed. Why did Ishvara do this? No, that question can be asked, of course. Swami, why did He create ignorance? You know. Understand that ignorance is never created. Ignorance is cause of all creation. Ignorance itself is never created. It's there. It is no beginning. It will have an end. When knowledge takes place, ignorance will come to an end. Like darkness has no beginning. In a cave, when did darkness begin? Well, whenever the cave came into existence, darkness came along with it. Darkness has no beginning. When you bring in a light, the darkness will dispel. And so also, ignorance has no beginning, has no cause. Meaning that we cannot find an answer to the question, why ignorance? Eli asking the question, why 11 players in each team? Why the pitch is only 22 yards long? Why are there only 3 stumps and not 5 stumps? That's how it is. And so also, there's no answer to why ignorance. But it is very important and very consoling to know that The only thing that is ignorance. And therefore, all we need to do is to just despair ignorance. The only agenda we should have in life is what? Is dispelling ignorance. That's the cause. So what is meant by dispelling ignorance? That's the program given in Bhagavad Gita. Ignorance first arises the ego, the sense of individuality. I, considering myself as an individual different from you, is the first product of ignorance. Not recognizing this body-mind complex as merely an instrument or a tool given to me and taking that to be myself is a product of ignorance, first product of ignorance. That ego or sense of individuality then give rise to likes and dislikes. Because whatever is helpful or useful or favorable to the ego becomes an object of my like or attachment. And whatever is hurtful is an object of my aversion. Therefore, in ego, there is going to be attachment and aversion. Likes and dislikes are going to be there. So our life should become a process of dispelling ignorance. First product of ignorance, most visible product of ignorance is likes and dislikes, attachment and aversion, that causes partiality and cruelty. All my interaction in the world is characterized by partiality and cruelty. I am partial to somebody. I want to sit on a certain table, not on some other table. I want to wear a certain kind of cloth, not some other kind of. I like one thing, not other thing. Likes, all my relations are characterized by likes and dislikes. I'm not objective. Attachment and aversion, or likes and dislikes. Thus we have to in fact observe our own mind. And we have to see where it is coming from. What I am saying, what I am doing, where is it coming from? Where is the interaction coming from? It will be interesting to watch that some like and dislike, some attachment, some aversion, some partiality is involved, or some cruelty is involved in most of vyavahara. There are moments when likes and dislikes drop off momentarily, like when you are enjoying some music, enjoying a flower, enjoying nature, enjoying something which without your own effort somehow makes this envelope or this cloud of likes and dislikes is drop off. Then there is clearance of the sun, of the beauty of my own self then becomes manifest. My true nature becomes manifest. Whenever the cloud of likes and dislikes clears, then there is a glimpse of the sun, which is nothing but my true nature. Then I am a very beautiful person. But usually, what the world manages to do is only invoke my likes and dislikes. That's what the world does. Sometimes nature is very kind and helps me to drop the likes and dislikes, but usually everything only invokes my likes and dislikes, and therefore my behavior is preceded by the likes and dislikes. So Lord Krishna gave a program, becoming free from the ignorance of the nature of likes and dislikes. What's the program? Samatvam yogaha uchyate. Here Arjuna, look upon whatever you confront as nothing but manifestation of Ishvara, as gift of Ishvara. So karma yoga, all of these are being told. These are nothing but the process of getting rid of ignorance. Getting rid of likes and dislikes is getting rid of ignorance. And the Lord Krishna says, don't be proud of what you do. Nimitta matram bhava sabve sachin. Here Arjuna, become an instrument in my hand. Realize that I am doing everything. You are just an instrument. Recognize that fact. Then there will be no arrogance. There will be no pride. There will be humility, because in fact I am fortunate that I became the instrument for expression of Ishvara in the form of these actions. That's how ego. So ignorance, form of ego or arrogance, is the next one that is given. And finally, with knowledge, the kartrutvam, the sense of doership, also is given. So understand that the whole teaching of Bhagavad Gita or Vedanta is of shedding ignorance. Because that's what deprives us of the perception of what is and creates in us in the illusion of what is not. Mohitam na bijanati maame vyah paramavyam. This universe of human beings does not know me, who is different from this costume, who is untouched, thank God. The beauty about the thing is that, fortunately, the limitations of the costume do not affect the actor. Just as the beggar does not affect the actor, and so also the limitations obtaining in this costume of body, mind, intellect, they do not affect in any way the self. The self ever remains free, ever remains changeless, ever remains free from modification, ever remains imperishable. So this is how, see, Lord Krishna, this is how he unfolds himself in these chapters. We'll continue after the break. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.